Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 70 of the Need to Nerd podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, and I'm joined by my co-host, a friend who really enjoys playing with his eyebrows if you're watching the video podcast, Wes Singleton.
Yeah, you know, eyebrows, great for the visual medium.
We got to be really upfront to our listeners because at the end of the last episode, we said we were going to do the labyrinth today.
Correct. We are disappointing you today, or maybe not. I don't know how, but we will get that one done. In fact, we've decided to make it better, right?
Yeah, so I reached out to Mikey. It was so funny. He texted me today. Former co-host of the show, Mikey Merrill, reached out to me today. He was like, oh, I came to the show today. It was like, I forgot to text you that we're not doing it this week. Because I guess it came off of Netflix in between the show and when we did it. So, like, I haven't watched it again. And while I've seen that movie a couple times, like, I very much want to watch the movie again.
Almost always, whenever we talk about something on this show, when even if it's been out a while and we saw it a while ago, we've watched it in the run-up to the show because we put in the homework.
Yeah. So we moved that so that to give us all time to both watch it and, like, Mikey is just, like, he had the special edition on his movie cabinet. So I was like, hey, can I borrow this? And also, do you want to be in the podcast to talk about it? He's like, I do want to be in the podcast to talk about it, but I would need to watch it. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll probably rent it then. And, like, we'll just plan on that. And he's working on movies right now, you know, because he's, like, cool like that. But we'll get Mikey on. We'll do that show. Instead, we're just going to do a Need to Nerd episode, like our Need to Nerd for March. West, I failed us. I failed us hard.
How come?
Because I didn't grab a nerf after the week.
I have a really sad one that's connected to something I'll talk about later in the episode.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that. I will give a impromptu nerf after the week that might blow your mind.
I will attempt to contain my brains.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you should. Because, like, if they explode on
camera.
Yeah, I think that we probably couldn't post that to YouTube.
You do have to immediately post it to Twitter, though. Those are the rules.
That's fair. Yeah, so I would say that if I was going to do an impromptu nerd fact of the week, it would be that the people who removed Pluto's planet status regret it.
I mean, it's always harder to take things away than to give it.
Yeah, I think that, like, when we think about poor Pluto, you think about, like, at some point you just got to admit that you did a wrong, and give Pluto back its status.
Yeah, it was a classic case of being too technically correct.
Yeah, I agree. Wasn't there supposedly another planet that was discovered in our solar system, but we're not sure because we have to go back out there?
Planetoid.
Is that what it was?
I don't know. I'm not an astronomer.
All right.
Well. I'm not even an astrologer.
Yeah. We're not going to nerd out about planets for too long, though. Instead, we're going to nerd about the stuff that we nerd out about. I'm going to go first for our Need to Nerd in March. What are we nerding out about right now? And West?
Spencer.
Do you know what my character is in D&D? Right now?
I do not know about your character in D&D right now.
So, I got asked to play a D&D with former co-host of the show, Mikey, as him DMing. And normally, like, if you are a listener, you might have played Valheim with me. You might expect Spencer to play, like, a fighter or, like a knight. Like, just somebody that just goes and, like...
I mean, you'll do that, but you're not going to do it with that class.
Sure, sure. Fun fact, I do that. But I do
mean,
with.
I know you.
But I do with a bard.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So a few weeks ago when we were playing, we got a lot of gold, and
payday.
like a lot of gold, and we needed to travel pretty far. But like before, like so I logged off. I was like, because I was playing from home that session, and I come back to the next session, and everybody has horses. And they're like, we got you this. This is Lionel the Pony. And I was like, can the pony carry me with my gear? Like, can the pony do this? And Mikey the DM's like, yeah, Yeah, it's fine. Anyway, so as a bard, you know, you gotta lean in sometimes. You gotta lean in.
You actually have to lean in. The number one rule of the bard is to commit to the bit.
Yeah. So, I wrote a poem. And I'm gonna read it on the podcast.
I cannot wait for someone to read poetry on this podcast.
It's happening right now. Also, I want to be clear that I know that the things that I'm about to read are not technically correct, but it worked for the poem. So.
And the vast majority of D&D horses end up as glue eventually.
Okay. Ooh, that was gross. A Palomino pony was his breed. Lionel the paint I took with me. With Raven on my shoulder, Lionel could move a boulder. For in his heart, he was no pony. Lionel, the mighty steed.
Heck yeah.
The part of D&D that I'm enjoying, and the thing that I'm nerding out about is just, like, leaning in. And I'm kind of really glad I picked a bard. Yeah. And I would say that if you... It was funny, because, like, a few weeks ago, the other characters wanted to know my backstory because I've been, like, kind of mysterious about it. And I just went off. I was like, yeah, here it is. And they're like, they, like, started to cry. They're just like, this is tragic. And I was like,
you're right, then.
What's even better, they don't know this, it's based on my real life.
Oof.
But yeah, that's the...
Do you have a D&D... equivalent of your friend Caleb, then? Is that part of it?
No, but that would have been good. Why might I incorporate that? Let's move on. So the next thing that I'm nerding out about right now, I might have mentioned this on the last show, been playing Breath of the Wild with Maxwell. And one of the things that we got to this this stable, and somebody gave us a tip about a back entrance to Hyrule Castle where you can get all the treasure and not fight the guardians. And
now he wants to go to the castle.
And so I read it to him and he's like, we need to do that. And we did it. Now he's got like royal clothes, royal swords, Hylian shield. Like, we got the shield. I made sure to get him the shield because I was like, well, if we're going to go in here, like, we're getting the shield.
Yeah, yeah.
All the shock arrows and bomb arrows that the kid could wish for.
Yeah, a lot going in.
No, I didn't let, like, I let him play in there a couple of times, but, like, he kept, like, deviating and going to fight Lionels, and I'm like, listen, man, like, I know that you want to explore this whole castle, but, like, you are not ready to do that, so the way that my son, who's, for listeners' reference, he's 5, so the way that we play is we switch off every time we die. And so there are some sessions where, like, I legitimately play the whole time. And he gets a little upset. I'm like, and so what I'll do is, like, I'll give him the controller and shrines and stuff. I'll take a break so that he can take a turn. Because, like, I want to teach him that, like, both in...
Like, it should be fun to watch other people play.
Yeah, exactly. And so... I did a lot of it, but, like, he got a bunch of stuff in there. Like, he was really scared of combat trials not that long ago in the game, and now he, like, actively wants to do them.
Nice.
So there's a lot going on there that I'm, like, really enjoying playing with my kid, but he also wants to play all the time, and I don't blame him. I played the game for, like, 90 hours after I got it, yeah. So I get it. Also, his, like, best friend at school is also playing it, who is also, like, 5 or 6. We also went in a different order. So for those who don't know, like, the story mode order, quote-unquote, for the game.
If you follow the trails, you definitely go to the...
You go water... First, yeah, you go yeah. Water, fire, wind, camel. Or wind, desert. I believe is the order.
Huh.
We did water first because you should do that. And then we actually did wind though, because that's just the sickest power in the game.
It's true. The ability to just jump up and fly anywhere you want for a moment. And Go ahead. I love all of that area too. Like, there's just, the game is at its best when you start on top of a mountain, and going to the mountains is the way to do that.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close. I think he needs to do like 11 more shrines to get the Master Sword, so he's pretty close. And it's really funny though, because like I show, like, the reason that we even got to the point where we got this tip was because I wanted to show him where the forest was, because he had like 30 seeds or something just sitting there. And so like, and I knew that the guy had moved to the stable, and I was like, hey, let's go talk to him so that we can cash in these seeds. I said to him, I said, yeah, unfortunately you can't do the Spencer special in the fort to get to the forest. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, I'll show you. So we go to the tower, I hop up and I fly over it, and instantly it puts me somewhere else. And he's like, oh. And then like two more times that night, he refers to every time he like jumps up from something really high to get to the place he's trying to go as the Spencer special. And I was like, that's cute. That's cute.
That's the Breath of the Wild special, but we'll pretend it's yours.
You know, I definitely was showing him how to do like stuff that I don't know how to do, that I've never tried to do, like the bomb drop.
I actually learned the speed run approach to Hyrule Castle, which was really fun. At a certain point,
cool.
I learned, like, you know, jump off the wall, get to this horse, ride the horse through this path so you don't die immediately. And then I guess at the time it was like a fling yourself on a panel, like, you know, like bombs plus stasis, like into the castle.
Yeah, I've seen that speedrun.
I mean, I didn't do it. I didn't learn to do it fast, but I did use it in master mode, which was fun.
Oh, that's sick. The thing that we were in a shrine and I didn't notice that there was a certain item. So I was like, how do you get this chest? Cause like the climbing headgear was on it in it. And I was like, I don't remember how to get this chest. So I was like jumping from this point and doing like bomb drops to fling myself. And he's like, what are you doing? Cause I like messed up a bunch of times.
I'm Samus.
Yeah, it's true. I was trying to be Samus. It was really interesting. Enough Breath of the Wild, though. Those are the two, like, big things I'm nerding out about. But also just MTG with the homies. Two of my best friends started playing Magic the Gathering a lot again. In fact, I think we're all playing a modern tournament on MTGO this weekend. It's my favorite thing in the world, dude. Just, like, even when they're just playing and I get to, like, pop in and, like, pick their brains and, like, watch them, or, like, vice versa. It's been a lot of fun, and it's something I'm really enjoying right now.
Yeah.
And then finally, like, I recorded my 400th episode of Constructive Criticism. It actually released today, the day of this recording, and it was pretty surreal.
Proud of you.
Aw, thank you, buddy.
It's like a big accomplishment. 400 episodes is like a really long time to be doing a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, we've been doing this podcast for a while. We're at 70 on this episode, and we only do it every other week. And like,
not counting.
We also like took a year and a half off, and like,
yeah, but like, I was listening to Constructive Criticism, maybe not in the first 100, but certainly in the second 100.
Oh man, that's the Michael Hinderocker starting era.
Oh, really? I was listening to it before Michael started.
Yeah, so I think. Q was until 103 or 108 or something.
Okay.
Maybe it's 138. I don't know, man.
I have no idea either. I just know that like that podcast was huge for me. And I'm glad that it's still going strong.
Dude, thank you. That means a lot. I need to understand something. You said your first point, you gotta go. Like, what are you nerding out on right now? Cause I want to understand how the thing that you have typed works.
The thing I have typed works. The D&D group that I run the game for, we finished our previous campaign, Descent into Avernus, back in January. Early February, and we just 2 days ago, on 3/8, which is a very auspicious day for this book, began running The Wild Beyond the Witchlight, another D&D 5e adventure. And it's a totally different tone. We went from Mad Max Fury Road to the Night Circus, and it's a real good time. My players, who are all relative beginners, but for that other campaign, are all like pushing some boundaries on where their comfort zones are on characters and stuff, and I'm really excited about it.
I have so many questions. One, what does it mean to finish a campaign? How does that happen?
So I've been running hardcover campaigns. So like Wizards of the Coast publishes like a book that's an adventure to play through, and like when the characters like get through the main plot of this book, I find a way to wrap up the story and maybe sunset those characters or do one last hurrah of some kind. And then we make new characters and start a new game.
What if they don't want to make new characters?
Well, the thing is that like at some point it gets silly. Like D&D 5th edition as a rule set works at its best between the levels of 5 and 9.
Okay.
And as your characters get into like the upper teens.
Isn't the max level in D&D like 20 though?
Yeah, and basically every character after level 13 or whatever is vision, and like the game starts to break down a little bit.
Okay. Are there campaigns built for high level characters like that?
Yes. However, I would say that even still, like, I think that even like the, you know, like the Chris Perkins, the people who like have been making these things for years, are still at a loss for how to like best support those sorts of games. Because like, as an example, there's a 6th level druid spell called Windwalk, where your characters all just turn into like gaseous wisps and can move at 300 feet per round through any crack, any like, you know, anywhere where air could
people,
go.
People can just like apparate, basically.
Well, it's not quite, and like teleport's a thing too, right? Like the game, like, you know, if you thought fly was a good way to make sure that obstacles in the game didn't matter very much, like there's a lot better ways at higher levels to circumvent things in a way that's like cool, but like if you're trying to present like real concrete challenges in a book to players, like half of the game is trying to work against you at those levels.
You know, I didn't expect this to turn into a D&D podcast, but speaking of Wizards of the Coast, you've been listening to a podcast that I produce and playing some Wizards of the Coast games.
That's true. We're playing Kamigawa Neon Dynasty right now. I think it's a sweet limited format. I actually had a really rocky beginning in this format. I don't know if I've ever had such a losing streak in a limited format before. But I found my lane, kind of found my style. And I'm back into a climbing place in the game.
Can I ask what it is? Like, what do you like? For the listeners that are like,
oh sure.
If listeners, we've kind of explained draft before on the podcast, right? But like, you open booster packs, you take cards out of them, you know, around a table, kind of like a NBA draft or an NFL draft or, you know, different types of those formats, and then you build a deck. He's a Game Media. You're listening to a podcast from that network. Has a draft podcast, if you're interested, by a Magic the Gathering pro, Sam Black,
who's really good at explaining,
dude, like, this
exact thing.
Yeah,
like, so good at it.
Yeah, his last episode was one of his best. I thought that, like, he just did how to draft blue white in Neon Dynasty.
I listened to that actually. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was one of his better ones. But the reason that I'm asking is like, what is the lane that you've carved out?
Well, I full avoid red now. Except, like, very occasionally, like, when the right Onikul Anvil appears, like, third pick, I'll move in. But, like, I think that for me, it's all multicolor soup decks. I had a really good streak of decks that were good at looping, like, at creating a, like, kind of an infinite card advantage loop via the Colossal Sky Turtle and Season's Renewal. Basically letting me, for every 6 mana, I can get back a creature or enchantment out of my graveyard without costing me a card.
That's awesome. This isn't the only drafting that you're doing, though, because you're also playing the Auto Battler draft game, TFT.
Yeah, based on the television show Arcane. No, okay. Actually, this season is based on Arcane, in terms of like the mood of it all and like which characters they chose. But yeah, I have been playing TFT kind of on and off for, I'd say, 3-ish years now. I've liked Auto Battlers since their inception. I think that they're all really fun, and TFT is kind of the one that I've stuck with the longest. And for me, it's mostly kind of a zen activity. Like, it's like if I've got 45 minutes where I just want to like tune out the world, I'll, you know, put that on while watching something, and like that's kind of either it's like a good warm up into my day or a good cool down, and like it's just it's a fun game for me. And it's the idea of like a draft where like the entire game is roughly the length of a draft, which is really fun.
Yeah, for those who have not tried Auto Battlers, there's on the Switch, there's Slay the Spire. Or wait, no, that one's not an Auto Battler.
Slay the Spire is a deck builder.
Yeah, Slay the Spire, builder,
which is a great game.
No, no,
I'm always happy to stump.
The reason that I was trying to think of the I was gonna suggest the Hearthstone Auto Battler because it's my favorite.
Battlegrounds is sweet.
Yeah. It's super simple. You can play it on your phone. But Auto Battlers are sweet. The concept is sweet. I'm glad you're enjoying TFT, dude. Like,
yeah.
Especially, I really like it when, like, you find a thing that you can do to, like, kind of decompress. Like, for me, that's been Red Dead Redemption for a while. But, like, it's always nice when you get those moments.
Yeah. And then kind of the last thing that I've been doing recently over my spring break is I've been taking it upon myself. Like, there was a filler arc at some time towards the end of Naruto Shippuden where it happened and I just like fully bounced off the series and never came back to it. I learned what happened through other means, but I never actually did the work of watching the show. And so I've just gone back to finish watching Naruto Shippuden, and I'm enjoying it. I can't believe it was like 6 years ago that it ended. Like, that part's kind of driving me nuts. Like, or 5 years ago. That's a lot of long time ago.
I'm actually surprised it's only that long ago. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Like, and you know, like there's been a full on sequel series to that.
To me, it sounds like it felt like Boruto came out like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I thought
there probably wasn't a big gap between it, because I bet that they didn't want to have much of a gap there.
I didn't even realize that. I didn't know. Our next question in our Need to Nerd style episode is, what is the next Need to Nerd you want to fulfill? I have two. So I took part in the kind of this open beta, like you just download the beta source code and like test it out and give feedback for the Valheim update. I did it, and I don't use cheats in Valheim, for those who don't know. Like, I don't go in and give myself fly mode or, like, reveal the whole... Like, I don't do that. And I got none of the content during the open source. The open source is now over, the update is out, and I still have not found a cave. So, I'm playing it right now. Like, it's what I was doing before the podcast. I'm really excited. Like, I want the new armor. I want to see the caves. I want to... there's, like, a bunch of stuff in this update, and I really want to get to experience it. So that's kind of, like, the thing that I'm excited about. That, like, I'm... One of the cool things that Valheim does is, like, is how it's releasing right now. It'll be crazy once the full game is out, because I think that, like... I already loved Valheim for what I got.
Yeah.
But, like, I can't wait to, like, when they do their final release, I'm 100% sure I'll just be like, new character, let's go.
Full restart, yeah. I mean, yeah. And, like, you know, like, Valheim had so much going for it when I started playing. Like, the idea that there will be people who, like, buy it when they release it, because, you know, like, in general, like, I think that buying games in early access is great, but also, like, I bet lots of people are like, I'll wait till they finish or whatever. But, like, there are definitely going to be new players when they fully release it who, like, come into this entire game. Like, because, you know, there's so much in the game and they're adding so much every update. And it's just going to be real good exploring for those people, too.
And then my last one is Triangle Strategy. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast, but, like, a demo's out where you can play the prologue, basically, like, the first three chapters. And I really want to sit down and do that. It was funny because I was downloading the demo and I was like, I'm so excited. I'm like too excited. And I was so excited that I started playing freaking Final Fantasy Tactics.
And that's awesome. Like, if your nostalgia is so bad, like, that you're like, I'm going to stop playing this game. Like, it's like if you're playing X and Y and you hit the forest that's a copy of Viridian Forest, if you just go grab your copy of Red and play that instead. That sounds awesome, actually.
It is. It was. So I'm actually pretty far into Tactics now, but I'm really excited for Triangle Strategy, and I'm excited to kind of dive in. What about you?
I have a pile of Octavia Butler novels on my bedside table that I bought probably 3 months ago and just need to, like, get started on them. Kin and The Wild Seed are the first two up for me. I've already read her Parable series. Octavia Butler is kind of the leader of science fiction from a point of view about not white men. And she's a titan of the field. If you haven't read anything by Octavia Butler, I congratulate you on your whole heart and unbroken head. And that's awesome. But go read her books. They will break your heart. They're really good.
All right. I didn't know that all my co-hosts were building tubers. So let's talk.
Oh, are we all? Is everyone building a tuber right now?
I think Mason has three tubers.
I had exactly half of the cards for a tuber I wanted to build in my collection, and I raided it all. All
right. So hold on. The audio listeners, what's a tuber?
A tuber is it's a cube. It's a collection of magic cards in order to be played with in a limited environment. So draft or sealed. And a tubert is designed for play with two people because the design of a cube that's for eight people sitting down is not the best design for two people. And it's way easier to get two people ready to play Magic than eight people. So I'm building that mostly because I realized that I had most of these cards and that most of the expensive cards were the ones I already had. So I'm just copying someone's list because I trust them. And I'm really excited to have it because pretty soon here my friend Alex is going to be moving in with me and I want to have like good magic options to play with one of my best magic friends.
Yeah, Alex is a gem. I'm excited for you. Nerd news. What are the things that we are excited to share in the world of nerddom?
I knew yours.
So
the moment I thought about it.
It's funny. We're in this huge all company meeting yesterday and it drops.
It's
and I like
nerds.
Wanted to no. I wanted to leave the meeting. Like straight up I was like, so my boss does office hours where like anybody can come in and talk to him. The meeting ends and I sprint to his office and then one of my coworkers is like, oh man, were we racing to office hours today? I was like, nope, but you're coming, because I knew he was a Star Wars fan, too. And, like, I was like, Jared, I have something very important for your time during your office hours where everybody can talk about anything they want. He goes, okay, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, the Kenobi trailer just dropped. We need to watch it. And he goes, oh! And, like, because, like, that was one of the things we connected on when I got hired. And, like, we watched it twice, and it was, like... I had another meeting that I was delaying so that I could watch it.
I've been anticipating the show for so long now.
Dude, I literally was trying not to cry.
Didn't they announce this at the end of the first Mandalorian season?
I mean, it was way before the pandemic, right? Because, like, Ewan McGregor is on stage with Kathleen Kennedy.
Okay.
And she's like, are you going to play Obi-Wan again? And hands him the mic, and he says, I am. Like, it was...
Okay.
Like, this has been 3 years in the making.
That's amazing.
And, like, I remember when Hayden was announced. I was not expecting the trailer. Like this was huge. I watched the trailer, right? And then watched it with my wife. And then we talked about it, and, like, we started watching Rebels now. She'd already watched most of the first season. She watched all the first season and the first episode of season 2. and we watched multiple episodes of Rebels last night. So now we're watching Rebels because, like, she needs to watch Rebels to watch the show now. Yeah. Can we just talk about John Williams for a second? Is there
only the last four episodes of Rebels, Spencer?
There's not words. He's gonna die one day, West. He will die. One day, John Williams will be dead.
Yes.
And
we'll
will
have enough music that we can algorithmically create, I hope.
I literally don't know how I will handle that.
I don't know. I hope someone's understudying John Williams.
Dude, we should, make sure. Like, I can't.
Yeah, we should go check. Make sure.
Yeah, I just. That trailer. Did you watch it? You watched it, right? You've not watched it? Oh my gosh. I'm still losing. I'm like sweating. Oh man, I'm gonna cry.
Everyone, I'm just excited to listen to Spencer.
When Duel of the Fates starts playing.
Yes, Duel of the Fates will grab the heartstrings.
I just was like, what is happening?
Just grabbed mine right now. It's in my head.
I could not handle it. Star Wars trailers always get me. I'm like, I am crying. I'm like, literally, there are tears coming out of my eyes. I got so much crap for liking the prequels as a young man. And it's so funny to hear people like, love them, love Ewan. Starting to defending Hayden. It's like the Andrew Garfield thing all over again. Spoiler alerts, by the way. I'm going to go into this. But, Spider-Man spoiler alerts.
Okay. That spoiler alert. I thought the spoiler alert was that, boy, are we about to dive off a deep end here.
No. Andrew Garfield is my favorite Spider-Man. Just hands down. I got so much crap for it. And now everybody wants a new, after No Way Home, everybody wants a new Andrew Garfield movie. And people, he was always great, guys. You guys just hate, the internet,
guys,
just, you, I'm talking to the world.
There are listeners, they're not that
stupid. That's probably true. It was funny, I was on the call with HR yesterday, and we talked, he watched the trailer. The meeting that I was delaying was with the manager of HR. We got on the call.
You're telling me that no work was done that afternoon.
Oh my gosh. We get in the call, and I was like, hey, I'm sorry. I was watching the Star Wars trailer with Jared. He's like, oh, when you delayed it, I also watched the Star Wars.
So thank you for that.
And then we got this, and people love to crucify Hayden, right? But the dude's a Golden Globe winner before he ever got to Star Wars. And people are like, what else is he in? And I was like, I loved him in Jumper. And then we just went on to he's like, I loved Jumper. I loved him in Jumper. Him and Samuel L. Jackson play really well together. And I'm so excited for the Hayden redemption arc, where George Lucas is not writing the dialogue.
My brain had to do a moment there because I was like, well, I've seen the Darth Vader redemption arc.
No.
Not very long.
I'm so excited for the internet to go, we were wrong. Hayden was always great. The script was, the dialogue was always bad. I'm so excited for Kenobi. It might be the most excited I've ever been for a Star Wars project. Including The Force Awakens.
That's a lot.
I'm losing it. All right. My next bit of news is a little bit sadder. They announced the date for season 3, or not even the date. They announced the year for season 3 of Dr. Stone. Oh, no. It's not that bad. But it is 2023. It will not be on the fall slate of 2022.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't understand anime. There's two animes that I'm, really invested in, their both of their third seasons. Dr. Stone and Fire Force. Both of them have current Shonen Jump stuff coming out, right? So, what? How much do you need? What?
It's not just about material.
What do you mean?
Do you realize that like, compared to filming things live action, animating things is so much harder?
I don't know. My Hero seems to just...
My Hero has, like, 4 times the money. Like so any...
I know. It's the most popular... I get it. The most popular anime on the planet. Yeah, all right.
Has so much more money than anything after it. It's insane, the difference. But I understand your plight. Like, it's hard to wait for things.
It's really frustrating, right? Because, like, Demon Slayer and My Hero get to do it, right? But, like... I think it's more frustrating because both of them didn't do that, right? Like, Fire Force and Dr. Stone immediately popped out their second seasons. And now we have to wait. They haven't even announced season 3 for Fire Force.
Yeah.
And left us on the cliffhanger. And, like, it's the last manga this the writer's ever going to write. So, like, I don't know. It's frustrating. I'm disappointed with the 2023 release. I think that... I don't know. Anyway, I'm excited for season 3. They released a trailer. I have not watched it. I wanted to watch it with West. We might do that in another night and then post a video. But I'm excited for season 3. I'm glad it's happening because, like, for a lot of anime, like, you get fireflied. Like, it's just... So, what about you?
Oh, boy, do I feel that getting fireflied feeling. A game that I've been watching closely and has been a bit of a tragic streak in terms of delays, Advanced Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp, has been delayed yet again. This time in... Actually, something that Advance Wars has historical precedent for. When Advance Wars 1 came out, it came out on September 9th, 2001. Yeah. And then got delayed in Europe and other markets as a result of that. Because it's about very like challenging topics when you have a war going on. And similarly, Advance Wars Reboot Camp has been delayed because of the war in Ukraine, which we are not remotely qualified to talk on other than that we're really unhappy about it. But I think that this is, I'm saddened by it, I understand, and it makes me wonder how Call of Duty still exists, if Nintendo is going to take the high road on this sort of thing. And that's all. I'm just sad that that's the case because I was really excited about that game. We're looking towards the fall for that one.
Can we take a step back? Because we, just a few weeks ago, talked about how much we love delays in video games. Because usually they're a really good thing.
Yeah.
Usually it means... usually it means you're getting a better product, right? Like, one of the most frustrating things, I think, in recent gaming is, like, the Cyberpunk 2022. Or, no, 2077, what is it? And, like, the problem with that was they delayed it so many times that they felt like they had to release. And if they had, like, one of the games that has been delayed a bunch that my family's been excited for is the new LEGO Star Wars game. Maxwell loves LEGO Star Wars. It's the game he plays with his mom. They play it almost every other night. And, like, she's excited for it. I'm excited for it. It's one we're all going to play together. But it's been released, like, or delayed almost, like, 2 years now. And, you know, coming out of the pandemic, I think that a lot of us were hoping we get less delays on video games.
Yeah.
So having this be the reason that we get delays just means that, like, you know, we won't go too into depth, but, like, there's a certain maybe piece of crap dictator that, you know, is ruining West's fun.
Well, that's got farthest from the things that I'm mad about.
I know. I was trying to make it lighthearted for what it's worth.
Well, I'm proud of Nintendo for holding themselves to a high standard.
Yeah.
Realizing how ridiculous it is for Call of Duty Modern Warfare to exist, period. And I'm also realizing how often we set double standards in terms of the real cost of war based on who it is against.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you have some good news, though.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about something. We've already done a video where we respond to the trailer for this, but let's talk about Pokemon Violet and Pokemon Scarlet, because I am, you know, like, there's a new Pokemon game.
I just 0% expected a new Pokemon game.
Yeah.
Like, I think that, like, the fact that Arceus was so good, the more I think about it, the less... what is happening? I mean...
Game Freak is a different Game Freak now that they built Pokemon Arceus? Maybe they learned something?
I don't know. The what's even crazier is, like... we talked about this, obviously, in the video you can watch here on the YouTube channel, but, like... anyone who did any complaining about them giving Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl to another company now looks like a moron.
Because we realize now that it was so that they could also get some lead time on this.
It's genius. It's genius. It's absolutely genius. I'm like, my mind is blown. And also, the game looks great.
I would be astonished if we ever get a remake made by Game Freak again.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, I think that, like, considering the fact that, like, because you have the thing to build off of, right? You have a text to reference, right? Like, the creative design doesn't need to be as hands-on. And certainly there is nothing in any Pokemon game that's like, we have the resources that no one else has in order to make this. It makes sense to me that, like, we would see, and, like, they make a lot of money, right? Like, they're good games. Like, we like playing them again. So it doesn't surprise me in the least that they would hand these sorts of things off nowadays.
What are you most excited about for Scarlet and Violet? The fact that you're getting Violet is like, I really wanted to get Violet, but, like, I'll get Scarlet, buddy.
I will be able to find people to trade with if I need to. That's not the issue.
I won't, though.
Oh, well, we'll figure it out. I know friends. I know people who play Pokemon. And also, like, I think the thing I'm most excited about is I really want to see how a main series Pokemon game is informed by the approach to Pokemon Legends Arceus. I think I fundamentally really cannot wait to have, like, almost a complete parting ways with the idea of tall grass as a thing that Pokemon, like, you walk through and don't see the Pokemon. Like, I really hope that, like, permanently wild Pokemon are just out in the world and you, like, encounter them by either, like, starting a battle with them or by throwing a Pokeball with them. But I think that, like, you know, that helps the world feel alive in a way that walking through Route 1 and just having Pokemon jump out at you couldn't do.
That is our new nerd for March 2022. Can't believe that is the year that we are in. If you want to suggest a topic, leave a comment. Let us know. We would love to hear it here on the YouTube or join us over in the Discord. You can find me at SpencerH. You can find West at
East_monotone. MONOTONNE.
Like, sub, review, wherever you are listening. It's a huge help to the show. And over to patreon.com/cheesygamemedia to support everything that we're doing. And we'll see you guys all next time with another episode of Nature. Wait, we decided the episode topic, though.
We did.
It's Demon Slayer.
Heck yeah, it is.
Demon Slayer Season 1 coming at you. Catch up. Let's go!